Jackie, it's a pleasure to have you here. We have an international audience, and they always like to know where everyone is from, sort of, because we may not know where you were sort of born and raised.
I'm from New York. I was born and raised in New York. Well, partially raised in New York, and then the rest in the South. And then when I was 18, well, 17, going on 18, I moved back to New York. So I'm a New York girl all day.
Okay, and you know, because you know you're very familiar. There's probably no one from my generation who won't know your name. But how did you start singing?
Well, I've been singing since I was little, and then when I was 12, my sister was dating a member of the group Change, and a lot of people from, you know, from the new era wouldn't know who Change is. They have to go back. But Change is a group that Luther Vandross was part of.
Wow.
And my brother-in-law was in Change, and I would come up for the summers from, you know, from the South to see my sister, and he would take me around, you know, to different shows, to the, you know, shows he was doing, and then meeting like all the singers, other singers and stuff. So I met like Johnny Kemp that just got paid. I met Johnny Kemp when I was 12.
Wow.
I met New Edition when they were little. They were, you know, they had Candy Girl out and all of that. I met them. And I'll speed that up about New Edition, all of us coming back in each other's lives later. But I was, you know, I was introduced to the industry young. Wow. So it made me want to sing even more. So after I graduated from high school, I had two scholarships for college.
Wow.
And for music, and I didn't want to take my scholarships. I wanted to take my chance singing. So I was like, well, I'm going to go back to New York now. And I went back to New York, and my brother-in-law started helping me. His name is Vincent Henry, and he was a part of Change, but then he was working with them too, May. And he left Change. He was working with them too, May. And I got the honor of going on the road with M2ME and watching shows and learning from M2ME and Tawatha and so many other like singers I was able to be around. Melissa Morgan, Allison Williams. I learned a lot from Johnny Kemp. We had a band together for a little while. Like I was filling in with them, and that's who I was kind of learning from, you know, from the beginning. But, then when I turned 19, I met Teddy Riley. Oh. And Teddy and I had a band. We started a band, and we used to do all the, you know, little spots in Harlem and in Queens and all of that around New York. And we stayed together for a little while. I was the lead singer, and he's deceased now. Oh my gosh, I'm going blank because I'm old. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm drawing a blank. He passed away. He sung Joy and Pain with Rob Bass and Omar Chandler. I'm sorry.
Omar
Chandler. So myself and Omar Chandler were the lead singers for our band with Teddy. And we did that for about a year, and then we disbanded and everybody went about their way. And I was filling in for a singer with a band, and a friend of mine from another band called Jamila came in, and he was like, you know, I want you to meet somebody that's in my band. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was Keith Sweat. And Keith wasn't, you know, Keith Sweat yet. And he kept saying, you know, I want you to come to the studio. You know, I would love for you to sing on some stuff. I'm working on a record. So, you know, I was just like, whatever. Nobody's trying to come around him. And it took me about maybe 3 weeks to a month to go to the studio. He called me 50 times, and I was like, okay, I'll come. Finally, I go to the studio. When I get there, Teddy's there. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm working on a project. And I was like, okay, so, what's this project about? And, Keith was telling me about it, but, Teddy was like, I'm doing the music. So I said, all right. So I felt comfortable because Teddy was there. And it just went crazy from that point. We did Don't Stop Your Love on Keith's first, album, on the Make It Last Forever album. We did Don't Stop Your Love first. Then we did, I'm trying to think, I Wanna was done second. And then it was Here Comes Make It Last Forever. And they had called me and another girl,
Was that
in,
Tammy? Tammy Lucas?
no, it wasn't Tammy Lucas. It was a girl named, well, she's a grown woman now, by the name of Vivian Sessoms.
Okay.
And they called her in to sing too. Keith wanted her because Keith was working with her, but I knew her. And they had called her in to come to try to sing the song as well. But Keith's manager and Teddy was like, we want Jackie to try first. We want Jackie to do it first. So, of course, when I went in, it was all she wrote. Blessing came down, and the Most High blessed me, and Make It Last Forever happened, and it came out great. But to be honest, I hated it. I hated Keith's voice. I was never a fan of Keith's voice. I was like, Lord, what are we doing? Why? And then, when he got an album, once we started doing the album was finished. When the album dropped, everything went crazy. When the album dropped, I was still working for ABC. I was working at ABC. I was working at ABC Radio at this time. And I was like, I'm not leaving my job until I know this is a hit. This all of this is hitting. And right out the door, everything, one by one, pow, pow, pow. Don't Stop Your Love hit. I Wanna. Then everything was just hitting and we had to go on the road. So then I left my job. I was like, okay, I gotta leave my job now. So I left my job and we went out on the road. And when we were on the road, we didn't even do a video for Make It Last Forever because Make It Last Forever blew up so big by itself, just on its own from us doing city to city. We were doing 6 days a week, killing it, killing it, killing it. And it was us and Salt and Pepper and Rob Bass, and Heavy D and the Boys, killing it everywhere. It was called Slammin' 88. That was our tour. Killing it everywhere. And from that was all she wrote. Everything just started blowing up, and just going to the next stages. So, okay, you can get in there.
I mean, Make It Last Forever is actually one of my top three favorite albums of all time. So I don't skip any of those tracks because I'm a massive, massive Teddy Riley fan. So all he did. But what was the name of the group that you and Omar and Teddy had? Because.
Teddy said it was called something else. He said we said the project. He said
The
it's called something else. We don't know what our band name was now.
project. Okay. Did he leave that to go with Timmy to do Kids at Work, or was it before Kids at Work, or was it before?
It was after Kids at Work. That's how I met Teddy. I met Teddy from one of the guys that was in Kids at Work. His name was Clarell.
Carell,
And I was dancing with him in the club, in a club. That's how we met. And he was like, he sang and blah, blah, blah. And then he told me about, Teddy and them. He said the group was called Kids at Work. He told me about them. And then he was like, I want you to meet, Teddy. That's how I ended up meeting Teddy and us putting a band together. Clarell was nowhere in sight after that. Like,
why didn't it
sadly.
work? Why do you think it didn't work? Because, Teddy and Omar, we've.
Well, with the band, I just think that, let me see, I'm trying to adjust this because you're right now my arm
Yeah,
hurts.
that's right. So, yeah, just put it out anyway. Yeah, adjust it, just
So
do it.
now I'll do it a little bit. I don't want to, because I didn't want to take away, I don't want to see the sun is like shining. I didn't get home, so I couldn't do it from my house. So we didn't, we weren't trying to do a band, like to put an album together.
Okay.
We were just doing, you know, because he had kids at work going on. So, and Gene Griffin was in jail then. So Gene was actually telling, you know, we would rehearse in Harlem on 145th Street and in this spot that was crazy. And it was a lot of like drugs going on, a lot of gambling, drinking, all of that. And Gene was in jail and he was like, make sure nothing happens to Teddy and Jackie and them up in there. Let me tell you, they protected us with their lives. Nothing. Wow. Nothing. And that's what we used to rehearse. And then we would just do our shows. And we ended up disbanding because it was like, okay, all right, y'all, next, because we got stuff to do. And I think, you know, it was more so because Teddy was getting busy, you know, doing more production work. And little did we know we were going to meet right back up together.
Yeah.
You know, that was fate. You know, that was nothing but the Most High. I always say nothing is by accident. Everything is on purpose.
Yeah.
Whatever happens in your life, whether it's bad or good, you know, it's on purpose. It, you know, for your learning experience or whatever you have to go through, you know, whatever generational curses that got to be broken, whatever it is. I'm very spiritual. So, you know, and I don't mean spiritual in a witchcraft way and no witchy poo way. I mean, you know, my connection to the Most High, to God, to the Most High, and to Jesus, Yahusha. I say the Hebrew names because I go by the Hebrew names.
Okay.
And, you know, I know that it was divine. You know what I mean? I knew that we were supposed to. So.
You mentioned Johnny Kemp, and most of us would say, oh, okay, just got paid, and that's one hit wonder. But you said you've known him and from before that. I mean, for those of us who just knew him for that one song, what was he like as a performer and a person?
Johnny, oh my gosh, Johnny was such a great performer. When I tell you, I watched him every night. They had these bands in New York, and Johnny Kemp and my brother-in-law was in the band with them. Like, they had these bands that were incredible. And that one band was called Kinky Fox. And when I tell you, half the dudes in the band, they were, you know, they were out with everybody. They were out with Atlantic Star,
wow,
you know, M2ME, New Edition, everybody. They were just playing for everybody. But Johnny was just one of those performers that he had it, you know, that he had a gift. And I learned so much from Johnny, just watching him. He commanded the stage, you know. Johnny was the bomb, and he taught me a lot. And I wish people could have gotten to know Johnny even more. He was Bahamian, and he was my family all day up until he passed away. He, you know, his sons are my nephews. You know, his wife is my sister. Just a good guy, sweetheart, great entertainer. Oh my gosh, and could sing like nobody's business. And I really wish that his records, you know, took off even more. But, you know, our business is so fickle. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, from one point to the next. And record labels, if they're not feeling you, you know, they're not feeling you. It's just whatever. It's whatever whatever's popping at the time.
Yeah.
So he didn't get his just due, you know. And when he went out to go out back out with Teddy to do the New Jack Swing tour that Teddy was doing, and the crazy part is Teddy called me and was like, Jackie, can you talk Johnny into coming out and doing this, you know, New Jack Swing tour with me? And I called Johnny and Johnny said no. And I was like, all right, you know, that's your decision. And Teddy wanted me to come, and he's like, because, you know, you are the true first lady of New Jack Swing. And I was like, boy, stop with that first lady nonsense and that junk. I don't go by that mess. And, you know, he was like, no, Jack, and I want you out here, but I had my kids, and I couldn't do it. And my daughter, she was, you know, smaller. She's 12 now, but she's smaller. And I was just like, nah, I can't do it. And Johnny decided he was going to do it. I didn't know Johnny decided he was going to do it. And when he went out to go meet them, in he was meeting up with them in Jamaica. That's where he died. Wow. He didn't get to go and, you know, meet Teddy on the Tom Joyner cruise to start the New Jack Swing tour with them. He didn't. He died. To this day, they said he slipped on a rock.
Wow.
That's something I can't even believe, because I used to watch Johnny Kemp stand on one leg on tables, jumping from table to table, singing, get going in. I mean, oh my gosh, one of the dopest performers that I've watched. And there's no way he slipped on a rock. That's like, no, he didn't slip on a rock. Somebody killed him. That I believe. I don't believe he slipped on a rock.
Well, why would you think they may want to do that?
You know, he got left behind. He was supposed to be on that Teddy Riley, you know, on that boat. You know, a lot of times they think that people have money because they're entertainers and whatever. And, you know, Jamaica can be a little ratchet.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, that something happened. I believe that somebody killed him. I believe that somebody tried to rob him.
Okay.
Because they found him, his ID was sitting off. But when they found him, he was underwater, not under the water, but floating between the rocks and the water. And, you know, he was gone. And they were like, and it took them a long time with this whole investigation and all of that stuff. So, you know, I still don't believe to this day that he slipped on a rock. Not at all.
Wow.
No, not Johnny that I know that was standing on tables and dancing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's interesting because you've tracked your journey, sang on one of my favorite albums. I mean, Make It Last Forever. It is one of my, you know, I think that one and the Bobby album and the Guy album. Were you surprised how, you know, because you knew Teddy from, I didn't realize how long you've known Teddy, to see him as a producer. Was that a surprise? Because you were in a band together. Did you know he had it in him?
I knew he had something in him. Teddy was always, you know, amazing, amazingly talented. Like he was a genius, and he still is. So me seeing him young and knowing young Teddy, that, you know, because even now to know, okay, you know a Teddy Riley, you know. Teddy is Teddy. I don't look at him like that. I'm like, I know Teddy that I was in his project apartment, you know, in Harlem, and Mickey Mouse was running over my feet when we were supposed to have a rehearsal. That's Teddy I know, and his mama, you know, I'm like, I know that.
Okay.
So when people are like, oh, you know, Teddy Riley, I'm like, okay, that, you know, that's my brother. But I know that, you know, I know the Teddy that came from Harlem, you know, I know the Teddy, the real true Teddy. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just, okay, that's Teddy. Like, but yeah.
So, because Make It Last Forever Blake blows up, then Teddy and Timmy and Aaron form Guy. What happens to you then in the midst of all this? You know, everyone's getting deals and stuff.
Well, when they were doing that thing, their thing, I got my deal with MCA.
Oh.
I was with MCA Universal. I did a huge deal. And my album didn't come out right away. What happened was Teddy and Keith were supposed to produce my album. And they started fussing with each other. And they didn't end up doing the album together. Then Teddy was like, well, I'm not doing it at all. And I'm crying. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I started with you. Like, how are you not going to do the record? So Teddy didn't end up working on the record. Keith produced songs on my record. I'm trying to remember how many. Two? One or two. But Keith did a cameo on my album. I had my single was called It Hurts Me. It did really well. Keith was in it, you know, he was on a song and he was in it. He was in the video. And it did pretty good, but my album didn't even come out until 92. It was on the shelf because MCA had so many artists, so many black artists that we all were just like waiting in the cut. But while I was waiting, you know, for my record to drop, I got a phone call to, first of all, no, I say this first. I got a phone call from Herbie Lovebug, and
Okay,
Herbie
salt
wanted me to
pepper.
come. And Herbie wanted me to come and fix a song. And I was like, okay. So he said, I'm bringing you and Stanley Brown in. I said, okay. Stanley, producer Stanley Brown, that did Christopher Williams stuff, Don't Wake Me, I'm Dreaming, and all
Oh
that,
yeah.
you know, that's Stanley Brown. And but he Stanley does a lot of gospel music stuff too. So we Stanley and I went in, and it was like, okay, we gotta fix the song. So I did Expressions. I actually, when I went in, it was a mess, and I had to rewrite, you know, a part for me and arrange it the way I wanted it, because I was like, oh, what would Chaka Khan do? You know,
Wow.
if she was on a rap racket. So then I came up with that, you know, don't tell me what I cannot do, you know that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a Chaka thing. That's something Chaka would do. And I just did it. So they put the release the record. The single goes double platinum. It was platinum right off, like so fast. It was Salt and Pepper's first number one record
Wow.
on the Billboard, on the Billboard hip hop charts. It was their first number one record. And it was number one for 8 weeks. And it blew up. It just blew up. But after all of that's going on, and I got in trouble for doing that song too. But
That from who? MCA?
by my manager, Hiram Hicks, and the record
Oh.
label was like, we didn't tell you to go be singing on nobody else's stuff. What you do? So I did it because I wanted to do it. But by me doing it, I got bamboozled. I don't make a penny off of that song, not a
Wow.
dime. And that song went double platinum. My voice, they still, even with all of this streaming, the streaming services and everything, I was going through a thing with Salt and Pepper the same time Spinderella was. And Salt did not want me to have credit on, she didn't want me to get residuals from the song. She said I did a favor for Herbie, but I'm like, I did a favor for Herbie when I didn't take a point on the record. And I did a favor for Herbie when I didn't go and get my writing credit because I wrote my part. So I'm like, I'm doing this as a favor, but now streaming services and stuff come into play, and she doesn't want me to get any residuals for my voice being on it. Are you kidding me? So I was going through a hard time. Then this was in 2020, and I couldn't afford an attorney. So when I tell you, the Most High put in my spirit, let it go. Let it go. And I let it go. I just said, you know what? I'm not fighting this fight anymore. You want to be greedy? You want to keep money for yourself, knowing good and well I sung this daggone song and made it platinum too? Like, y'all didn't make this platinum. My singing made this platinum on top of your rapping. So, you know, I felt some type of way, but I had to let it go. I had to be forgiven, and I had to let it go. So, I let it go. But back then, you know, I was in my feelings back then because it was so much stuff being done, you know, to me that was just mean and evil. And I just kept letting stuff go. When my album got put on hold, I got a phone call from my girlfriend. She sung with me with Keith Sweat too, and she said, I just got a phone call to do Toto, Africa Hold the Line, Toto. And she said, they told me, do you know anybody else that can come and do this? And she said, my friend Jackie McGee. And they were like, Jackie McGee? We know Jackie McGee. She's on MCA. We have artists on MCA. This was their management. And they had a country artist named Vince Gill on MCA at the time. And they were like, well, we already know Jackie. We know who she is, XYZ. And they were like, do you think you could get her? And she said, I'll ask her. When she asked me, I was like, Toto, hands down, of course. I was like, I'm there. So I ended up going out on the road with Toto from 90 to 92.
For 2 years.
And for 2 years, I was with Toto, and my record did not drop until 92. So it was that time in between. But that time in between, I had another number one record with Salt and Pepper, and then I was singing with Toto. So nothing was like, it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything, because I was doing something,
But
So it was a good thing, and then it was bad.
when did you record your because I'm okay for, with the salt and pepper. I didn't realize that was you, like the homeless lady with the hat.
Yes, that's
Yeah,
me.
most of us wouldn't realize that was you in the video.
That was me.
But when did you record your album then? What year did you finish recording it?
I finished recording my record in January 1990. My album was done.
And then, so for 2 years, we're just sitting down, just waiting. But I know that at that time, MCA was almost black Mecca
They
because
had
they had
so
your new,
many.
yeah, they had all the New Edition, Bell Biv DeVoe, Ralph. Then they had all the uptown people go at the same time, Jody Watley. So they just they I actually thought MCA was a black label for at one point. So I could just imagine that they just were just stocked with a lot of things. But was it also the time with Gene Griffin? So Teddy, is it that he didn't want to, or was it that Gene? I'm wondering because you said you've known Teddy since he was a kid, and then he didn't. He said he doesn't want to work on your record. Was it because of Keith? But he could have done songs separately. But was it Gene? Because we've heard the documentaries about how Gene controlled things. So was Gene the one stopping it, or do you think Teddy? You couldn't convince Teddy to do something solo with you.
No, it wasn't Gene. It wasn't Gene at all, because Gene loved me. That was my dude. And let me tell you something. I was the one person that was never scared of Gene. Gene would do anything for me. I love my Gene Griffin, but he was terrible. But I love Gene. He always made sure I was good. No, it had nothing to do with Gene. It was because Teddy and Keith were fussing, and then they weren't working together anymore. And at the time, my manager was Hiram Hicks. He managed New Edition BBD, and he managed started managing me. And then he took on Keith Sweat, and that made me mad, because I'm like, you taking on Keith Sweat, that's not helping me. So of course he started doing stuff more in Keith's favor than in my favor. So when Teddy and Keith was arguing and all that other stuff, it was just like, Teddy didn't want to deal with Hiram, with Keith, period. So he just didn't do it. And it was what it was, but I just felt like, it was unfortunate that it had to go down that way, but I still ended up singing with Teddy. I went out on the road with Guy. I was home from singing with Toto, and Teddy called me, and he was like, Jack, can you do me a favor, please? And I was like, what? And he said, I need you to come out on the road and sing Goodbye Love with Aaron. And I was like, okay, well, how much am I making? And he was like, call Gene. He's like, call Gene. Gene will work it out with you. I said, okay. So I did end up singing with Guy for a little while as well. Not long, because that's when that whole nonsense went down with New
New
Edition and Guy.
edition. Oh, okay, good. The super fair. Were you there when that all happened?
I was singing with them, but I hurt my leg the weekend before, and
Oh.
I couldn't walk, but no lie, this is all my life. I was trying to put my shoe on and stuff anyway. I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and go fly out to meet them. And when I tell you that the Most High was speaking to my spirit loud, like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and said, don't go. And I'm like, what? And it just said, don't go. So I get called a cab. I'm going to the airport and everything. And it said, don't go again. And I'm saying, okay. I'm in the car going to the airport in the cab. And when I tell you, the voice was like, I said, don't go. I said, okay, you don't have to say nothing else. I asked the cab driver to turn back around and take me home. And I told him I'll pay him, for both ways. And when I got home, I was trying to call Gene and tell him, I was like, I'm just telling him that my foot is too swollen. I can't put my shoe on. I'm just not going to come. And I couldn't get Gene. I couldn't get Teddy. Finally, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning after the show. I get Teddy on the phone. He was like, oh, you never gonna believe what happened. And I was like, what? And he was like, they pulled the plug on our show, right in the middle of Goodbye Love. I mean, not Goodbye Love, because Aaron didn't do it. Peace of My Love. So I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, oh, it's a big deal. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. And then the next day is when all it happened, the fight, the everything after the show. And Anthony got killed, Teddy and Aaron and Damien's bodyguard. And it was crazy. It was crazy. I wasn't there. And I know now, I knew then that the Most High was protecting me not to be there when that stuff happened, because people got shot. Anthony died, and he was with us all the time. Like, he was their bodyguard, so he was my bodyguard too. I didn't need a bodyguard, but he was mine too. So I traveled, with Teddy, Aaron, and Damien. So, we were always flying together in the limo, whatever. And I wasn't there, and I thank the Most High every day that I was not there. I thank him every day that I wasn't there. That was horrible, but
Had your album come out by this time?
My album, I'm trying to think. Was my album out already when I did this? I think my
No,
album.
it wouldn't have been, because this would have been the
No, so
this is
my album.
the future out the two future tour, so probably on 91. So your album came out in 92.
Right.
It came out in 92. So I loved It Hurts. It's almost, I mean, it's really beautiful, the beautiful track. I mean, and it is like Make It Last Forever Part Two, it kind of thing. It's a really infectious song. By this time, had you gotten used to Keith singing? Because most of us kind of, he was always known for the begging and stuff, but and which was a good trademark. But did you get used to his voice by this time? Because it really did make a difference.
He, I mean, Keith has a style, and that was undeniable. Him having a style, very undeniable. And people love Keith. So it's like, the one thing about Keith I can say, Keith is a performer, and he's also, he's a stylist because he has a style of singing, but he's a great producer as well. Great writer producer. I can't take that away from him. He's a great writer producer. And now he's, just legendary. And it is what it is now. It's like, okay, everybody's getting old now.
But do you think MC helped? How do you think they did with your album? Because, as I said, you had is a skeet Skeezer. I mean.
Skeezer was my first single, and I didn't want to do Skeezer because Skeezer was just risque. So Skeezer was like my song. This was before Beyonce, so Skeezer, I had chicks in cages and dances and dancers. I had a lot of the dancers that danced with Michael. They danced with us, with Keith, and the choreographer was Big Les
Oh,
from,
big ass, yeah.
Yes, Big Les was my choreographer, and that's my sister. So, you know, we had this whole sexy video, and you know, they didn't know what to do with me. They didn't, because I was too eclectic, too crazy. You know, I always had this crazy fashion. I wore wigs, I wore, you know, braids, I wore whatever, I wore all kind of stuff. And then I got even more crazier when I met Corey Glover from Living Color, it when I was out with Toto, and I was like, I'm shaving my hair on the sides of my head. And that's before my record dropped. So on my cover, I had a wig on, and then, and like if you see the other pictures from my album, I had my hair shaved with the braids on the top, like Corey Glover from Living Color, who is a good friend of mine who I love dearly. But yeah, MCA just didn't, they didn't know what to do with me. Puffy asked to work with me, and they said no. And Andre Harrell, he did manage me for a minute, and he did come to me with the whole idea of being the queen of the ghetto, the queen of hip hop soul. And I was like, I'm not ghetto. What are you talking about? And he was like, yo, money, you can wear shrimp earrings. Yo, Jack, I'm telling you, you can pull this off. I was like, I can't pull that off. That's not me. That's not me. It's not for me. And we were actually talking about that. I had one of the guys, Jimmy Jenkins, J Love.
Yeah,
He
I know
was,
Jay Love.
yeah, that's my boy. And you know, he was Andre's right-hand man. He was, you know, right under him with Uptown. And we were talking about that because I have a show that I do. We were talking about that on my live, and we were laughing, and I was like, I bet you Dre is rolling around right now, still mad at me, because I was like, he was mad at me. He stayed mad at me for years. He would not talk to me because I would not do what he asked me to. I was like, yeah, I got Mary J. Blige. You turned her into what you asked me. That's beautiful. It worked. Still mad at me, wasn't talking.
Wow. Yeah, I had a two-hour interview with J Love, Jimmy Jenkins, and he's really good at telling the stories. Even when It Hurts was blowing up, did MCA not have some direction to try and really capitalize on that? Because
MCA just knew they wanted to put out a ballot with me and keep on it. That's all they knew. They didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't know how they were going to work me. I mean, we had a great team. I loved our MCA staff and team. They were the best, but they had so many records to work. So after my second single, we were about to drop the third single. It Hurts Me was the second single. And they told me, Jackie, we want you to go back in the studio. So I said, okay. I was upset, but I said, okay. Went back in the studio, started working with Jermaine Dupri, with Mark Gordon from LaVert, Bobby Wooten, who was the same guy that worked on Keith. I'm trying to think who was on my second album. I worked with Bobby Wooten on my first too. It was a few great producers actually producing now. Reese Johnson, producer Declare, that I just did the new my new single with. I've been working with him since '94, so he had worked on that album as well. So the album was crazy. It was a dope album,
You finished
and
recording it.
finished recording it. Everything was ready to go. And they got a new team in, and they dropped 15 artists. And it was me, Jody Watley, Eric B. It was a whole bunch of us that got dropped. 15 of us. And I was devastated. I was devastated. And I was like, I'm not singing anymore. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm not doing this. I can't do this anymore. It's too much. And you know, I was just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. So I was pregnant with my first son. So I was like, you know what? Let me just have my baby and be a mom, you know. And after I had him, I went to school a cosmetology because I was not going to sing. I was like, I'm not singing. I don't want to sing. So I went to school for cosmetology. While I'm in school, I get a phone call because I'm still an MCA writer, right? So I get a phone call from my rep, Kim Jackson, and she says, okay, I have a situation for you. And I was like, what? And she's like, two things. Two groups need a singer. And they want to know if you're interested. And I said, who? She said, the Brand New Heavies and Family Stand.
They did Get to Heaven, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, which one? I was like, I like both. I don't know how to choose. So I said, if I have to choose one, I would say the Family Stand because I knew Sandra St. Victor. You know, Sandra was my girl. You know, I knew she had left the group to go do a solo thing. And, you know, I knew she got to be free and do what she wanted to do in the group, you know, as far as doing rock music and stuff. And I wanted to do some rock. So I was like, you know what? I'll do the Family Stand. So you know, I met Pete and Jeff. We get together. Pete played the songs for me and had me sing. And he was like, hands down, this is you. So Sylvia Rhone, she consented. Yes, Jackie's gonna do it. Yes. So I ended up doing an album called Connected with the Family Stand. And that's one of my favorite records. I love that album. I love that album.
Yeah, it was a
And
mixture
when
of
it came
funk,
out, you
punk
know,
rock, you know,
yes. But it was a it I think me being on it made it a little bit more R&B-ish. And but it was a great album. And we were all working together at that time. Family Stand had they were producing Corey Glover's solo album that he did through LaFace. And there was another group on that was signed to Pete and Jeff. Well, the Goodfellas. And the Goodfellas had Sugar Honey Iced Tea and If You Walk Away. So we all started doing shows together. We would do little shows, you know, around New York and wherever we went. And you know, we were doing that and we came to the UK. They were ready to do this big European tour with Family Stand and everything was set up and then boom, that gets pulled. And it's like, oh, come on. This I can't. And after that, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I did songs for I did jingles for television and radio. And I was doing artist development then too. I started doing the artist development when I was still on MCA. And I started working with all these other artists and I just did that. That was, you know, and I was being, and then I was like, let me just be mommy because I was pregnant with my second son when I, when they decided they weren't going to do the Family Stand tour, and everything just fell apart. I was pregnant with my second son. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm just going to have my baby. They're like, no, I'm not doing
So
this.
everyone's
And
going to ask me what happened to that your second album that you recorded? Where did you do you have a copy of it? Well, because we
no, I don't have it. MCA still owns the rights to some of it. I don't have any of it. Now, Mark Gordon from LaVert, you know, we're still really close friends. That's one of my best buddies.
Yeah, I spoke with
He and
him.
Chucky Booker and yeah, Chucky Booker actually worked on my second album and I sung on Chucky Booker's album as well on this song called Deep Sea Diver. That was on the Games, the album that Games was on. I sung on the song for Chucky, but Chucky produced my Chucky was one of the producers too on the second album. It was Chucky Booker, Jermaine Dupri, Mark Gordon. and some other, and Reese, the guy that I'm working with now,
And Bobby
and
Walton,
a few people.
yeah.
But no, I don't know who has any of the old stuff. Reese, he does have one song that I hated. And I was like, yuck, no, we're not gonna know. No.
But have you listened to the
Yeah, let
album
me check.
since then? Have you heard any of the tracks since you recorded it?
No.
Wow. Are you not curious? I mean, most of us would be dying to. Have you asked any of the producers, like, come on, let's try and like a jigsaw put together that album?
I was like, you know what? It obviously wasn't meant to happen, so I let it go. I was just like, no, I let it go. It was not.
Wow, what is
Yeah.
what I mean? I mean, you've named some really big producers. I mean, Mark Gordon did a lot of stuff with Troop, and so they were some big producers. And then you're talking about Jermaine in his early days, and then Chucky. So it must be some really rich music.
Oh, Jermaine, oh, we had a joint that we did called Alone. It would have been so big if it came out. It would have been so big. Cause it kind of had that beat of kick off your shoes and relax your feet. It had that just kicking it beat, but it was more of a ballad, thing. And it was like let me see if I can remember it. Alone, you left me here by myself. You know good and damn well, I shouldn't be alone, alone. It was so cute. I love the song. It would have been so big, but record never came out. Never came out.
Wow. Can they just do that to
Never came
help spend all that money, record an album, and they say, well, it's not going down, and we just lock it up and just throw away the key?
That
They
was a
can.
hundred thousand. That was $100,000 thrown away just on three songs with Jermaine, and that he did a deal. He was giving me a discount.
Oh, so that was just his song. It's not the rest. So, I mean,
No, oh, my album cost a lot of money to do. My albums cost a lot of money to do. I was a million, past a million, $1.1 million in the hole with MCA, and my attorneys got all of that wiped off when they dropped me.
wow.
They were like, nope. They said she's pregnant and y'all dropping her. And then they got me money. They got me money and the million point whatever
Wiped out.
erase. Yep.
Wow.
It was a lot.
In If This World Were Mine, now I listened to it and I thought, this sounds like you recorded it in 1990. And saying that just because of the vibe of it, it's a really beautiful song. I mean, who worked on it with you? Oh,
Reese
maybe that's
Johnson,
why. Okay.
and he, when we, to be honest, that was one of our songs that we kind of revamped, to be honest,
Ah,
because I
okay.
wanted a 90s song,
Oh, it's a beautiful
and
90s song.
I wanted a, but yeah. Reese, it's a song that was revamped, and we wanted a 90s sound to
Yeah,
put
it is
out.
beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you. We wanted the 90s thing to put out. And the only reason why we didn't get to work it, because I started having problems with my esophagus and my voice was gone. I couldn't even sing it if I wanted to sing it. Gone. I couldn't sing it, perform it nowhere. So I was like, what's the point in trying to, work the record? I can't perform it. So I just left it alone. I just, left it alone. But now, okay, we're at a different place now. Now we're at a different place.
No, I was surprised. In fact, I discovered it during the lockdown, and I was like, and you know, and I've re recently listened to it, but that would take me to Riches of the World. It's a really surprising up-tempo beat, and you know, it's a really it's you know like almost like a mix between dance hall and stuff. But you can still get the message from it. Who did a production on that?
Producer Declare Reese Johnson. I wrote it. It's so crazy because I started writing it in my, he set up a little studio for me. I was living in Jersey, and he lives here in Atlanta. And I, he set up, he told me the computer to buy, the microphone, the everything to buy. And I got all this equipment and stuff, you know, a little small little studio. He set up Pro Tools in it, and he was able to, you know, control my stuff from where he
Wow.
is. So I would lay down vocals and, you know, come up with beats or whatever. I'll send it to him. And I'm like, okay, do something with this. I need something hot. Come on, we gotta. So that's how Riches of the World was written. And it actually was finished in 2020.
Oh.
But I moved to Atlanta in 2020, right in the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I went in the studio because it was some vocal stuff that I couldn't get right in my little trash studio.
Yeah.
And I went in Reese's studio and we did it over. And it was ready for 20, you know, we did, that was the end of 2020. So it was ready for 2021. And I was trying to put it out, put it out, put it out. And he wouldn't let me. Most High would not let me put that record out. So I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to deal with it. I'm going to leave it alone because he has not let me put this record out. And then Reese and I were on the outs for a minute because he got mad at me, you know, because I'm always, you know, telling the spiritual truth. And he was mad at me. You know, I know he still loves me all the time, but he was mad at me. He wasn't talking to me. So he get, I'm, you know, this is not even a month ago. I'm like, you know what? Let me call my son because my son, this is crazy. I was pregnant with my son when I was with the family stand. That was the last video that I did. And then when I did, If This World Were Mine, my son was a freshman in college. He had just finished his first year. And he directed and produced If This World Were Mine video. So my son did this when he was what, 19 years old.
Wow.
And then so I called my son because he graduated this year. He did 5 years. He graduated this year because he graduated as producer of film and director. And he's actually going to be starting a new job with HBO next week. And I called him and I said, can we get this record out some type of way? I got to put this record out, you know? And he was like, okay, mom. Well, okay. Well, you know, Dez said he's around and that's his friend, that's a cinematographer. So I said, okay, how much I got to pay Dez, you know? And that was the whole thing. We got to come up with the money. And, you know, I'm just talking about the song because I said it's time for it to come out. I just feel it. Next thing I know, I get a phone call from Reese. He leaves me a message and he says, hey man, because he's country. He says, hey man, we gotta put this song out, man. I had a dream. And
Wow.
God was telling me in a dream that Riches of the World gotta come out right now. I knew that he had a dream. I knew that he put it on his spirit. And he was like, we gotta put it out. We gotta put it out. And I said, I was doing it without you. I was putting it out without you. I don't care. I didn't care. So everything came together. I got the money up to pay the cinematographer. My son didn't want me to pay him, of course, because I'm mommy.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, we had, you know, we just had to pay for all the rest of the stuff. But you know, we got the video done for $1,000 altogether.
Wow.
You know, and that's with the traveling and the, you know, food and everything. So it, you know, it wasn't, and I mean, done with I don't know if, you know, who knows about cameras for film. We got it done with a red camera because his friend that's a cinematographer, his family owns a film company.
Okay.
So they had, you know, they had the stuff. So it was the bomb. We had a good time, even though it was last minute.
You and added some elements of a skit.
And you know what's crazy? Okay, so we were supposed to have this thing going. where we had a club scene, right? We
Okay.
couldn't get the club scene together because my girlfriend owns the lounge, and she was like, "Oh, y'all, we gotta shut down at 5 by 5 because I have people coming at 5." And I'm like, "Oh Lord, it's at the last minute." But it was fine. We tried to figure it out, but we got these random women that worked at this place next door. They came in and was like, "Sure." And when I tell you, when I looked at the video, my son put them in the video, and I was like, no. And I said, "Can you take some video material from Skeezer?" And he said, "Yeah, Ma." I said, "So, because I said, if you want to see ass, it'll be in Skeezer." And I was like, and that was the old me. That was my old life. I was ratchet, not ratchet, but I was a mess back then, doing the most, doing too much. And the Most High, he brought me out of that life. I did, make a promise to him that if he, allows me to sing again, that I will do message songs. I mean, I wrote Riches of the World with Reese 2 years ago, well, 2.5 years ago, really. And we got other music that we had started. And I just told, our Father in heaven, I said, "Father, look, if you let me sing, I'm gonna do your word. I'm gonna put out message songs because it's a lot going on in this world right now. It's a mess." So I was like, "I'm gonna put out message songs." And when I was doing Riches of the World, I was homeless. I was living with a friend of mine, and I was homeless at the time. And I was like, I went through a homeless situation for 7 years until I moved to Atlanta. And the Most High blessed me with my own beautiful, place. And I went through a lot. I went through a lot, me and my daughter, because I left my husband, and we went through a lot. But we came out on top anyway, and we are, we are, we good. We all right. We all right. She did get diagnosed with diabetes
Oh,
during our
sorry.
time when we were homeless and living, with my friends. And don't get me wrong, we didn't live in no places that was disgusting or not good or anything. My friends have beautiful places, but when it's not your place, and you gotta tippy toe, and you don't want nobody, you stay to yourself, and whatever. You just it's a lot, it's a lot. And at one point of me being homeless and not having anywhere to live, I stayed with in New York before I left New York. I went to Jersey, but I was living with Herbie Lovebug's mom. I was renting from her. I was renting a room from her. And I had like the whole upstairs, me and Herbie's niece, and I shared the kitchen with his mom, with mommy mom. So, because we've been friends for a long time, his sister's my best friend, and his mom, that's my other mother, that's my Haitian mother. And it was a lot. It was a long journey. But Riches of the World, when I started writing Riches of the World, it was because people don't understand that you can have all the riches and it means nothing. It means nothing. And you sell your soul to have what? To have nothing. Because one day all of that's going to be taken from you. Because when you get something, being prosperous and then wanting to be rich is two different things. Being prosperous is your blessings that come from the Most High God. And not the God of this world, which is Satan, who I call the God of this world. He'll give you everything you want, all the riches, all the fame, all the everything, but it's a price. It's a price. And the singers that are getting up there now, and I call them out, and I know people are fans of theirs, but I have to call it out. You have the Beyoncé, the Cardi B's, the Megan Thee Stallion, and even what's her name? The heavyset girl.
Lizzo.
Lizzo. And I'm like, you have all of these singers and they butt ass naked, excuse my mouth, butt naked, doing all kind of stuff, kissing kissing, you know, doing all kind of stuff on stage, all kind of craziness. And then it's things right in front of our faces, and we're like, okay, do do do. No, we don't. We good. We love them. You know, that's. But it's tearing our children apart. It's messing up our women. You know, we got women out here now, dropping it. You know, twerking everywhere.
Yeah,
Old
definitely.
women twerking. You know, it's bad because it's like, what spirit is this? You know, and it's bad. So. For me to put out Riches of the World, I'm like, and to do the video the way I did it, me playing like the devil, and then me wearing the dress and representing the bride, that which is righteousness that Jesus is going to come back for. I knew I had to do that. I knew I had to do that, and it was this time. I know that that this song was supposed to come out at this time because the Most High allowed it. He wouldn't allow it before. And then he allowed. So I said, okay, it's time. And it's not even for me to be like, oh, you know, let me fix this thing. I don't want to block the thing. No, it's for me to be, you know, a star. And I don't want no parts of the music industry like that. You know, I love doing radio, you know, interviews and going to sing live and all of that. But all of that stuff with record labels and, you know, the awards and the this and that. And I don't have nothing to do with none of that stuff
You know,
because that's not, it's just not of, you know, it's not of the Most High to me because I've been in the business for a long time and it's an evil business.
I mean,
So.
for us as consumers of music, and big fans, but we've not been on in the industry like you have, and so you have a song that's, you know, as I say, you're almost in third person as the devil saying, yeah, if you do this, I'll give you all this stuff. And actually the video does work out because I like the how they dance to the beat. Is a really catchy beat. But then it's, you know, we hear stories about Freemasonry, Illuminati and all this stuff, and but we only hear the stories, and we may see the new Beyoncé album Renaissance and start seeing images, but not really thinking much of it, or Church Girl, and think, oh, it's just her having fun. But then I guess for those of you who have been behind the scenes, is there things that we is it can we not take it as face value as just art? Or do you think, being from the industry, thinking, no, some of these things aren't just coincidence, that they know what they're doing in the industry?
Oh yeah, it's not art. It's not art. They definitely know what they're doing. And what makes me even madder is because the record labels are allowing it. Who owns the record labels and who owns the media? I leave it at that. And then I'm like, they supposed to be the chosen people? We know they're not. So it's the ones that run the labels. That say, yeah, this is good. Yeah, let's do this. Let's make this, you know. And then, why? First of all, you know, even for like Jay-Z and Beyonce being married, just that alone, marriage is sacred. You know, I don't believe that the whole world should see her with a thong on, and garters, and men are lusting after his wife. That's not how it's supposed to be. For what? For record sales? That's not how it's supposed to be. And you know, the pasties on sitting on a horse, and you just so happen to be sitting on a pale horse, and the pale horse is one of the horses in the seven seals in Revelations. And not only are you sitting on a pale horse for your album cover, you did a red horse. You were sitting on a red horse on the front cover of the British Vogue. And these are the things, like, because I study deep into, you know, the word, and it's a lot going on. It's a lot of stuff that people don't want to, you know, people don't want to know. They don't want to know what's coming. They don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to believe it. And it's okay. It's okay not to believe it because we can believe what we want. We have free will. But at the end of the day, oh my goodness, the enemy is not hiding himself. He's showing himself butt naked. He could care less. He's like, I'm taking souls and I don't care. And people don't understand how demonic this world is even becoming and evil. It's so much evil that people are going along with evil and saying it's good. You know, and the word says that. Oh, what's evil will become good, and what's good is going to become evil. So yeah, people, you know, say I post stuff on my IG and I say stuff. I'm always getting kicked off of IG. You know, they shut me down. They won't let me come on for a couple of days. When I post stuff, you know, most people are on the same page with me because I do a live. But then there's people that are like, well, why are you just saying Beyonce and not other? I'm like, it's not just Beyonce, but Beyonce is the one on the pale horse right now. I was like, she's the one on the pale horse and on the, and have a Baphomet outfit on. You know, you got a why do you have a Baphomet outfit on? And I'm not taking away from the rest of these that's in it, the J-Lo's and everybody else. Let me tell you something. In order to be big in our business, you have to sacrifice yourself. You have to. You're not getting all of that money without a sacrifice. You're not, period. You're not. And people are like, oh, the Illuminati and this and this and that, and they think stuff ain't real. If you open your eyes, you will see the realness of it. Get into that life. And once you enter that life, you see the darkness. I remember going to a party that Dre and Eazy-E and them had. This was right before Eazy-E died. They had a party in Malibu. And I was invited to the party. I get to the party. Everybody's butt naked, almost.
Okay.
And I'm like, what is going on in here? You know, and I was like, no, this is, I'm not supposed to be here. But you see the evil, the drugs, the everything. You see the evil. Now you got to make the choice if you want to go along with it. And the other evil is sell yourself. Sell your soul. We're going to let you get all the money you need, but we want you to be butt ass naked. We want you to show every part of your body except probably the inside of your JJ. You know, I said, and you know, it bothers me because Beyonce's talented. You know, Lizzo's talented. Lizzo, why are you naked? You know what? I don't get it. You want to be free? So being free is being naked? Being naked is not freedom. You know, that's you saying, I want the world to see that I want to live in my, you know, being overweight. Okay, if that's what you want to be, overweight, you could have had your clothes on and been fly with your clothes on, you know. I just think it's too much. It's too much for our kids. Mm-hmm. They're putting too much on these kids, and everything is, you know, you don't know what sex you are now. You binary, you X, you this, you that. What? It's too much. So I said, I will be the one, Father. That you want to use me, I'll be the one to bring your message across. And I ain't scared, you know? And that's my thing. I ain't scared. You know, I know what I'm battling with. I know what comes at me all the time. All the time. You know, so riches of the world is there. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Because people need to hear the word. Hear this word. You know, all the riches of the world. Gain that ish and lose yourself. Gain it, you're going to lose yourself because you're going after all these riches. People work 20 jobs, you know, to make ends meet. Can't get their heads above water because, you know, our government don't want you to have nothing. But when you want to be rich and you start selling your friends out, selling everybody else out. Now you're going to do this class and that class. And then you all of a sudden into these cults. And I call them cults because anything that tries to lure you in and it's like, you know, buy this. We're talking about get into this real estate and get into that. You're going to make money. You're going to make a lot of money. If you want to make millions, you can get into this. And these are cults. People get tricked into getting into all of these things. And they get into these things and it's like, okay, I want to make all this money. And then everything is about when I start making money. You know, oh, it's my closet. It's my red bottoms. It's my Louis Vuittons. It's my, you know, my car with my rims and what I have. You know, everything is what you have, my houses. And, you know, all these shows that come on, half those people don't even live in those houses. You know, then you got people wanting to imitate how Love and Hip Hop is, and how the Housewives of Atlanta, and that, you know, Housewives of Jersey, and this and this and that. It's all a mess. It's all a mess. You know, we on TV being clowns on TV, buffoonery, making a fool out of ourselves, arguing, cussing each other out, doing all kind of nasty, weird stuff. And I'm like, man, this is a hard time to live in, you know, for any child that's growing up. They don't know what the heck to believe, what to do. Should I be a stripper? Should I shoot? I can be like Beyonce. I can wear, you know, I can wear pasties on my breast and, you know, go to a party. I can have one, you know, I've never seen so many gowns now for, like, you know, for when you're graduating from high school and then you have your prom and all that. I've never seen so many, you know, gowns of the cuts all the way down your breast and the slit is up to your booty, or, you know, tight, tight, tight. And just a mess. Just a mess. Well, but I'm the one that's coming to fight.
Yeah, no, you know, it's, and I said, you know, anyone, and you know, we'll make sure people get to listen to Riches of the World, because it you don't mince words about, you know, I'm going to offer you all this stuff if you give yourselves over to it. As I said, as consumers, we you know, we just listen to music, and we probably, you know, some of us would notice. I think I noticed a lot about when an artist came out in the 90s, they were well-dressed, and then by the time they get to the second album, they were wearing less clothes, and it became worse and worse, and the actual label stopped signing talented singers.
Yes.
You know, you had the Regina Bells and Nikki Howard, you had,
yes.
We had people who would sign for their vocals and their talent, but then it started to be, okay, you look good, you can dance, you know, we don't worry about singing, we can put some auto-tunes on there. And I know that one of the Clark sisters got sort of criticized for giving you know, permission for Beyonce to use her song. Then Donnie McClurkin came on as well to say, look, you know, even though she's as a writer, but she doesn't control the publishing, so there's very little she could do. So she probably, as much as she might object, she wouldn't have any power for that. But a lot of us might think, oh, church girl, she's just talking about don't be judged by the world, because any human beings would judge you. But then other people are looking at some of her songs and saying, look, there's something much deeper in these songs that you might not really notice. You're just singing along and dancing, but there's something quite deep inside. And a lot of us would think, well, do people intentionally go in to make music with knowing that this could lure people to the dark side? Or do they just sing on being naive, not knowing the effects that their songs and lyrics are having?
You know what I believe? Because I'm a singer, songwriter. I believe that we all have a journey in our lives, regardless of what. And when she talks about Sasha Fierce, Sasha Fierce is a spirit.
Oh.
She does it like it's her alter ego.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So if you have to be Sasha Fierce to be that, then you're not being yourself. So that's a spirit. So you got to get into the spirit to do this stuff, because that's not Beyonce doing it. This is Sasha Fierce doing it. She said when she's doing all that stuff on stage and all that stuff, she said, that's not me. That's Sasha Fierce. That's a spirit. That's the spirit she has on her. When she get in the studio, maybe some of the stuff that she's doing, maybe she's Sasha Fierce when she's doing that. Because, and I'm going to say this too, and I love me some Twinkie Clark. I am a Twinkie Clark fan. But, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be hard on her. Twinkie knew who Beyonce was before she said, yes, you can use my record. It's about money. And Twinkie knew who Beyonce was. The same thing as none of these people, none of these gospel artists and church people are coming up saying anything about Beyonce being on these horses. These horses are in Revelations. You have no T.D. Jakes. You don't have none of them. You don't have no Kirk Franklin, no Clark sisters, anybody. You have nobody coming forth saying, why is Beyonce on the four horses from Revelations, from the seven seals in Revelations? She has been on every color horse that is said in the seven seals. So it's four horses, and it's the pale horse, which is her album cover. The red was the front of British Vogue, and then she was on a white horse and she was on a black horse. And then she has a picture with a Baphomet outfit on. Don't this throw up red flags? Like, do y'all get this? I'm like, does this look normal? But see, people don't want to see that. And I believe that there's strong delusion right now amongst our people, period. People everywhere. And people don't want to see. They don't want to see what truth is. And everybody don't believe in the Most High, you know? People believe in something else. They Buddhism, you know, they do Buddha and they do whatever. My thing is this. I can say for myself that I know how real the Most High is, because every single time, even down to the thing I was telling you about with being out with Teddy and with Guy, and that happened, and the spirit spoke to my spirit. Mm-hmm. The Most High has been talking to my spirit since I was a kid. And I was a kid that was, you know, molested by my dad. My dad was a heroin addict, whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, my mother was a nurse. She wasn't with my dad. But just, you know, life was a little crazy. And the Most High has been speaking to me since I was a kid. And I know that he was guiding my way the whole time through my whole life up until now. And, you know, I don't have my age. I always say I'm Janet Jackson's age. Janet is actually a year. I mean, she's some months older than me because she's 56 already. I'm not 56 yet. I'll be 56 in October. And one thing I do know in my life, and a lot since I turned my life over, 17 years ago, the Most High spoke to my spirit loud and clear. I was walking one day and I was coming from church doing shenanigans anyway. Even, you know, my pastor was not a good pastor either. And I mean, he was a good pastor, but he wasn't doing the right things. And I had just gone to church and said something to him. You know, I went over there, dropped my little tithings off and whatever. And I said to him, you need to come out of the church for a minute. You need to step down out of the building because we are the church. So I said, you need to come out of the building for a minute because you can't lead the flock if you're not living right. And that was my thing to him. Because, you know, I grew up going to church and stuff. My grandmother was a Pentecostal minister, so my mother forced us to go to church. But then I went to church with my grandparents too. My mom's dad and his wife, which was the only real grandmother that I knew. But after I did that, a voice in me, loud, the same voice that I heard with Teddy and all of that. That same voice got me out of so many like shootouts and this and that, the stuff that was going to happen. Here come that voice again. And that voice said, change your life or you're going to lose your soul. I'm like, what? Am I talking to myself? I'm like, am I talking to myself? You know, you think you're talking to yourself. Nope. A couple of days later, same thing. Change your life or you're going to lose your soul. I'm like, what is this? Got it a third time. I said, okay, you don't have to tell me no more, Father. I'm listening. From that point on, I started to change my life. I started studying the word. I started studying way like lost books, everything. And then he started revealing things to me after, you know, 12 years. 5 years ago, he started revealing a lot of things to me. And a lot of stuff I didn't understand, a lot of things. So do I believe that the Most High is real? Of course I do, because he speaks to my spirit. Do I think it's the devil? No, because he ain't telling me to do nothing wrong. The enemy ain't going to tell you to come out of wrong. The enemy's, that's the crazy thing. The enemy's not going to tell you to come out of the clubs, come out of drinking, come out of, you know, fornication, having sex, adultery, you know, abortions, anything. He's not going to tell you to come out of that. As long as you in that, you good, you know. But when you're called out of it, that's when you know. Somebody's watching me, you know, because you called out of it. But like I said, I started studying this stuff, so I really know. And now what I see stuff so clear. And when I see these things with our artists, I'm like, oh, man, not you too. Like, no, this is bad. This is bad.
Wow.
And, you know, we want to say, well, you know, what are they doing? Are they selling their souls? Like, are they signing checks? And I can tell you, it's a lot more rappers that I know that can tell the story, you know, better. Because the guys, it come from a different angle, you know. The guys in the business can be in a meeting or something, and they're like, we want you to come to a party, you know. And that party will be something bananas, like, you know, with some, a whole bunch of just homosexual stuff going on, and you can be straight, and all this stuff is going on, and a lot of them have, you know, been at those parties, you know. And the sad part is, do you sell yourself for riches? Do you sell yourself for, you know, just to have that life for a minute? Because you might not have that life for a long time. Might just be for a minute. Is it worth selling yourself? Because, you know, a lot of entertainers, I remember I was talking about Nirvana the other day. And Kurt Cobain, he didn't want to be big like that. He just wanted to do his music. And then he ended up killing himself. And I believe that something was open, you know, something was open. And, you know, a lot of people think that people that are mentally ill and all of that are, you know, just, oh, it's they're chemically imbalanced and this and that. My sister, they would call paranoid schizophrenic. Nothing was wrong with my sister. Growing up, nothing. She turned 25. She went to Curacao. She had married this guy. She went to Curacao. When she went to Curacao, she said, when she came back, she wasn't even right. Something was wrong. She said they were cutting chicken heads off and working rituals. And I was like, what do you mean? She was telling me what they were doing, his family, her husband's family. My sister wasn't right since then. She started, you know, falling apart. Like, first she started having these blackouts and stuff, and then she started falling apart. Like, spirits were talking to her, telling her to do all these crazy things. All these demonic spirits were telling her to do all these crazy things, like not hurt people, but she would be butt naked, like, and take all the furniture out the house and put it outside, or throw it out the window, or try to get what she could out the window. Or she would take, like, be butt naked in the hallway in New York City. So it's like these voices start speaking to you. I know, because me and my sister were always close. And I know to this day that they worked something on my sister. Because nothing was wrong with her. She had no chemical imbalance and none of that. And you know, a lot of the people that I talk to that are supposedly crazy, when I talk to them and they talking to themselves, I do it all the time in New York. When I go, or, you know, I didn't do it this last time because we were doing the riches of the world, but I talk to, you know, these people that be talking to themselves, or they cursing out somebody else, cursing them out. And when they get to me or they look at me, they'll just stop. And I'll say to them, why are you doing that? You can control that. And one guy, two guys I talked to, but this one guy, he was calling women bees and cussing them out, all kind of stuff on the bus in New York, cussing them out and real crazy. Everybody was like moving away from him, everything. And I said, okay, now if he says it to me, I'm gonna get him. So he looks at me and he stops. And I said, why are you doing this? Because you can control that. I said, you know what that is, don't you? And he said, yeah, but I don't know how to control it. And I said, call on the name of Jesus, Yahusha. Because he doesn't know Yahusha. It's the Hebrew. So I said, Jesus. I said, call on the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of your son, help me. I said, he's gonna come. He's gonna help you. But you gotta fight it. You gotta fight your way back out. Your mind is, they're taking over your mind. He listened to me every day. And he was like, okay, sis, okay. As soon as I got off the bus, I could hear him. He went right back to it. Cussing, you bee, you this, you that. And everybody's scared because it's a spirit. And I did it to another guy, same thing. He said, he told me the same thing. He said, I don't know how to stop it. And I said, you have to call on the name. If you don't, because I said, they scared of the name. Telling you they scared of the name. So
So, I mean,
he's,
what are you going to release more songs like Riches of the World? Okay.
yes.
And what do you expect from Riches of the World? Are you expecting, I mean, the industry's changing up, no one's buying CDs and the streaming is, it can be potluck in times. But for you, is it a case of, well, I've been instructed, get the music out, I've got a video, and let it simmer, or whatever it does, and then you're just going to keep making more with Reese, or what are we going to
I
expect?
don't know. I don't know if it's gonna be with Reese because Reese said, I'm not doing music anymore, Jack. I don't want to produce music anymore because he's another one. Been in the industry, produced so many people. He's working with Alicia Keys, he worked with Aaron Hall, he worked with, Ronnie Bell, he worked with me, he worked with oh my gosh, he worked with so many artists. And he got burnt out. He was making so much money. He used to be a street dude. And when I met him, he had just come out from, getting shot up, all of that, changed his life. And he wanted to do music. And he's a brilliant producer, brilliant producer. And he was making so much money, after doing all these artists he was working with. And he was just like, he gave it up. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, he was like, I don't want to do music no more because he said, Jack, this is too dark. It's too dark. He said, I'm seeing too much darkness. He was doing all kind of stuff anyway because, he was from the streets, but it was a lot of darkness with the music. The business is dark. People be like, oh, you don't know. The business is dark. It's dark. It's darker now than it's ever been. Back in the day, I think it got worse in the 90s. Like you said, you see people with clothes on, and the next thing you know, their clothes are coming off. To me, it all started in the 90s. That's when it got the worst. That's when it started. Our, our groups humping the stage, and everything was bumping and grinding, and all of that. That's when I think it really started the most. That's when it started going in this direction to get to where it is now. I'm even held accountable because Skeezer was not a good, that wasn't a good video. That was, chicks naked almost in cages. It was a sex club, So I'm held accountable for that. And that's why I said, Father, if you give me a chance to do this right, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you say. So it's my journey right now to bring music in.
and we should expect more in due time. So at least you want this one to come out, do its thing, and then we'll see what happens next.
I'm trying to get Reese to do, we have a song called Crazy that we were writing, and this song is crazy because my husband and I'm still married to, we separated. He has a lot of bipolar behaviors, and I call him spirit. So I call the spirit crazy. And crazy is, you know, about we fall in love with these guys and, you know, women, we fall in love with these guys, or a man fall in love with a chick, and they're crazy. I know where all kind of stuff start popping off. And you're like, wait a minute. Who are you? Mm. And or the person saying, who are you? You know? And the song is, you know, it's a dope song. Y'all would love it. Okay. I mean, y'all would it's a ballad, but it's a hot ballad. But I want to bring across messages. Mm. You know, like pay attention to crazy. Because crazy is not. Crazy is just one of them personalities. That's one of them demonic spirits. It's a whole bunch of them out there. And we have to learn as spiritual beings, because we're spiritual beings, we're in fleshly bodies. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn to see things and see the light in things and see when you see crazy on somebody and they start cussing you out on the second date, or you know, they slapped you by mistake. It wasn't by mistake. They slapped you because they wanted to slap you, you know. And it is what it, I went through that with my husband. My husband is a lot younger than me, and I went through that with my husband. And you know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm an abusive person. Like, I'm gonna fight you. Period. You ain't put your hands on me. That ain't gonna happen. So, you know, I ended up leaving him. But every time, you know, he would act up, I would see darkness in his eyes. No lie. Just black. Like, no pupils anymore, no nothing, just black. Hmm. And I was like, wow, that's a spirit. And I had to start really looking at things in the spiritual and not in the flesh. So, yeah, I'm coming with some more, okay. Some more songs. Wake us up.
Yeah, no, we get ready. We look forward to that. I always end my interviews by asking my guests that if you were in an elevator and you had to watch a movie before, you know, because it's going to take 2 or 3 hours, what movie would you, your favorite movie that you'd like to watch just to kill time?
Oh, gosh, what's my favorite movie? I like biblical movies, you know, but my favorite movie. I don't have a favorite movie. The Wiz.
Okay.
Version of The Wiz, Wizard of Oz.
It was The Wiz, Michael and Diana Ross. Yeah.
That's okay. My joint. I can watch that 100 times.
Okay. And then what's your all time sort of favorite song? Not yours, but you just, you know, your favorite song.
Mother's Finest, Love Changes.
I don't think I've known that.
And that's a song that Melissa Morgan and Kashif did over.
Oh.
But the original group was Mother's Finest, and the singer, the lead singer, her name is Joyce Kennedy.
Okay. I'll have to look that up.
Oh, wow. You're gonna love that song.
Okay.
I'm gonna
look that up. So we're gonna make sure everyone gets to watch your video, your single, and stream. Most people of my generation, they tend to stream on YouTube as opposed to, you know, Spotify and stuff. It's, you know, we don't have CD. I don't have a CD player. Stuff. So normally if I want to hear something new, I'll go onto YouTube. So we'll start pointing the link to everyone in there. Do we expect you to go on any promotional singing tour? Would you be singing live, or is that gone?
I don't know yet. I would love to if the Most High allows it. You know, I would love to, but I know I can't do Riches of the World in Skeezer. You know what I mean? I would do Make It Last Forever, because Make It Last Forever is a love song. And I would do It Hurts Me.
Yeah, I love that song.
I wouldn't do Skeezer. I wouldn't do Skeezer.
What about If
And
Tomorrow, if you were mine? That's a beautiful one.
which
If you
one?
were
If this
mine,
has this wrong with mine, I
if
would
this
do
world
that
were
too.
mine,
As
yeah.
well. Yes, I would do it. Yes, for
Okay.
sure.
And then you
But
mentioned, and Baby, is it Alone? What was the name of the track you did with you were singing?
Alone, oh my gosh, I wish that song would have came out. Oh my gosh, I
Have you
love
asked
that song.
Steve, well, you're in Atlanta, to, if he could, if he remembers it, if he can give you the demo of it and you just recreate it?
And recreate it.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I've been here almost 2 years and I have not spoken to Jermaine one time since I've been here. And I'm like, because I don't talk to anybody. I don't talk to Keith. I don't talk to anybody. I stay pretty much to myself, and kind of do what the Most High wants me to do. And
Yeah.
that's my mission now. And it's not to bash, like I said, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash any other singers because, like I said, I think Beyonce is very talented. I think that, Lizzo is very talented. And, Cardi B is just Cardi B, and Megan Thee Stallion is Megan Thee Stallion. But not to take away from anybody. I mean, Madonna was doing crazy stuff in her day.
Yeah.
Crazy. And yes, it was demonic. A lot of stuff, a lot of sacrilegious stuff. Madonna be doing all kinds of stuff, kissing chicks on the lip in the mouth. Recently, when was that, a couple of award shows ago or whatever. Madonna always been off the chain. And it's like, okay, that was Madonna. That was doors open, being open then too. But I just feel bad for some of our artists that are out and they're influencing young girls to be these things, to be thoughts, to be this, to be that. Like with Beyonce's song Church Girl, I hate the lyrics. I hate the song. I think the song is ugly, but the lyrics are horrible. And it's like, why are you telling church girls that pop it, drop it, pop it? Why would you tell them that? If they try to be in church doing the right thing, oh, because you was a church girl and you did it. I was a church girl, I was a church girl. I wasn't popping nothing. It wasn't all that dropping and popping nothing. And it's nothing wrong with being a church girl. And I kind of feel like, it's mocking church girls, the ones that want to do right. Tell them I'll drop it. Can't nobody tell me what to do. I tell me what to do. Okay. But what I will say is pay attention to y'all go watch her hold up video. She's levitating in the water. And the stuff that she's speaking does not sound like it comes from this lifetime. And then the Bible is floating in the water, and she says, I plug my menstes with the holy pages. So I was like, do the math, y'all. Sasha Fierce was talking on that one. So, because you don't, that's one thing you don't do. You don't blaspheme the word. So I just think that, the ones that are letting them do it because they want that sells records. That sells records. That turns, that breaks our people. It's our women that's walking around twerking, looking crazy. It's our women that, look ratchet and doing, that's our women, shorts today, vajayjay and all their boobies out and getting all these BBLs. That's our women that's doing this. So it's making our women feel like they're not good enough and they don't have enough body. Their body's not good enough. They don't look good enough. And then I don't know. I just, for me, I just think it's bad. It's
Yeah.
just, it's bad all the way. And like I said, I'm not taking away from their talent, but I will say, and some souls being sold. That I will say.
Yeah.
And for money. Because you're not gonna get $1 billion in the elevator for nothing.
Wow. Well, Jackie, you have been, we've kept you for a long time, close to 2 hours. And I know your hands must be hurting, but I appreciate it. And, I definitely, as I said, I like the riches of the world. I like the track. I like the beat. But I do, I told you, I said, if this world were mine, I love
Yeah,
that.
because it's a
Love.
ballad.
It's a ballad, but even it hurts. I mean, just such a beautiful song. So even though "He Swears to Make It Last Forever" is the more popular one, I think it hurts is probably on par with that. It probably just didn't get the right kind of promotion from MCA. If you were an uptown, maybe they would have pushed it much. They would have had a better way of handling it. But and I just wish. But I know you're on a different journey, and you've got a lot more music to come through and stuff. So, I'll definitely be looking out for that. And but yeah, it's been really fascinating.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I will do it. I'll throw a love song in there somewhere because it's
Yeah.
still love. We still got love in us. And that's what we are. We come from love. So I will do, a love song.
Thanks for watching. Please remember to subscribe to the channel, but most importantly, to press the notification bell so that you can be notified when we do have a new interview. Loads to come, but thanks a lot for watching.
I begin to